0.21 is a significant amount of Bitcoin. Well, 0.21, that's not very much. That's not going to move the needle on anything. Like, that's what they talk about. Like, it's realizing in the grand scheme of things, you're in the like top 1% of the world has the ability to hold that much Bitcoin. That, correct, could lead to a quote unquote retirement number if Bitcoin continues its ascent that it does and has the ability to like become the next world reserve currency. What can be helpful for you is separating the USD exchange rate with the amount of Bitcoin that you have and focusing on the Bitcoin units. Because that's the other thing. When you're early in your stacking journey, when you're early just researching Bitcoin on YouTube, just trying to find these initial answers, you're like, well, how much is enough? Like how much, you know, like how many dollars should I hold? How much Bitcoin should I hold? That's honestly a classic question, even for people that have been in Bitcoin for a long time. That's a classic question. But on the front end, I've just found that like, look, this $13,000 of Bitcoin about gets you to 0.21. And then what do? You take it 0.01 at the time. 0.01 at the time, that's $620 standing here right now today. Just can you get 0.01 a month? Can you get 0.01 every other week? And
bing bong, I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast where I've got recurring guests. He hasn't been on in a while, but I've got Brian Harrington, now of Marketing and Fold, and a YouTuber who's been absolutely blowing up on the idea of this 0.21 Bitcoin here, Brian. So I'll start it off the bat, man. Why do you think people are resonating so much with the 0.21 Bitcoin? Is it that it's not that out of reach? Is it the full number bias? You know, what is it about this 0.21 Bitcoin that people are just loving so much?
Absolutely. Here's what it is. It's because you can wrap your head around it and helps you focus on the Bitcoin units. So, dude, thanks so much for even just like calling me a YouTuber. And I'm super thankful that, yeah, be marketing at Fold. And I mean that, to be honest. Like I've been watching Bitcoin content on YouTube since like the Tone Vase days, since the like 2016 like days, ripping YouTube videos. Okay. And where the 0.21 came from was I've wanted to do Bitcoin talking head videos on this website forever. I've always wanted to, but they always went nowhere. Like we were talking offline about just YouTube packaging and how to do it better. My Bitcoin talking head videos would go nowhere. My solar ones started to work a little bit. So I did the whole like solar stuff, but even the solar Bitcoin mining ones wouldn't do anything. Just like Sunrun Solar Review would like do it. Okay. And why does that matter to your question? The reason why that matters to your question is because finally, on one of my videos, I said all in the right order, hey, I've talked to thousands of Bitcoiners, both in person and online, and I know what can be helpful for you. And literally, what can be helpful for you is separating the USD exchange rate with the amount of Bitcoin that you have and focusing on the Bitcoin units, okay? That's what can be helpful. And then it's like, once you're focused on the units, it's like, okay, having a goal, like what gets measured gets managed, having a goal and having an achievable goal that feels like near term that you can reach out and grab it matters a lot. Okay. And so I was just like playing around with the like calculator on Google or whatever. And it's like, look, if you take 21 million, divide that with 0.21, 100 million. Okay. 100 million divided by the 8 billion people in the world, top 1%. Like it's technically 1.25. Top 1.25%, okay? And then you go and you're like, how much is 0.21? Now you focus on the exchange rate. How much is 0.21 in dollars? $13,000, okay? And then what that leads to is my favorite thing to talk about. And honestly, my favorite thing to talk about is influence. And like your personal brand and your influence and like who you are, why are you here? Like very kind of like core deep stuff, okay? And like, what's that connected to? What that's connected to is $13,000 of fiat, unfortunately, is not very influential. Like, it's a great amount of money. I understand personal finance is super personal for everyone, and everyone will have a different association with that number, absolutely, completely. In the grand scheme of things in the world, unfortunately, $13,000 is not influential. Like, you don't have the ability to impact very much in your own life, and you don't have the ability to impact very much in your community, much less the world, okay? And so you're definitely not in the top 1%, like with that number. You actually, according to like our friends at ChatGPT, need $1 million. Like you need $1 to $1.2 million of fiat in order to be in the top 1% globally, okay? So the influence of needing to amass $1 million, $1.2 million in the old world to have that much influence contrast that with $13,000 and what it takes to that much labor, that much of your you know, time and efforts to get that. That's what I'm hoping to relay with that, of like 0.21 is a significant amount of Bitcoin. Because that's the other thing, when you're early in your stacking journey, when you're early just researching Bitcoin on YouTube, just trying to find these initial answers, you're like, well, how much is enough? Like, how much, you know, like how many dollars should I hold? How much Bitcoin should I hold? That's honestly a classic question, even for people that have been in Bitcoin for a long time. That's a classic question. But on the front end, I've just found that, like, look, this $13,000 of Bitcoin about gets you to 0.21. And then what do? You take it 0.01 at the time. 0.01 at the time, that's $620 standing here right now today. Just, can you get 0.01 a month? Can you get 0.01 every other week? And that's where it came from. That super helped me when I was watching Bitcoin. I'm on the other end of the couch, like watching Bitcoin YouTube, you know, in 15, 16, 17. So that's where it came from.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's a you know, a lot of things, that the reason why, you know, the shit coins, crypto, all that kind of stuff has a lot of success is because of that whole number bias and everything like that. So I think the 0.21, like you're saying, it makes it something that's more obtainable, right? I mean, so, you know, I just did the calculation. It's like 35, 36 bucks a day. If you did that every single day for a year, you think about it, you go take you and your wife or you and a kid out for lunch or something like that. You're spending that every single day, right? So, you know, maybe that is still a lot of money to some people. You know, I don't want to be insensitive or anything like that too, but it is a little bit more obtainable to get something like that as well. And now, do you think that is going to be a number that, you know, maybe you reach, and that's a potential retirement number down the road too, with the way that number go up has been going?
Yeah, so I'm not the best on like throwing around the word retirement. That's why I lead off with that word, like influence. I think but I get that comment back a lot. Like, because the video has like ripped off, I think the original one is at like 160,000. And so that comment though, the question of like, well, 0.21, that's not very much. That's not going to move the needle on anything. Like, that's what they talk about. Like, it's realizing in the grand scheme of things, you're in the like top 1% of the world has the ability to hold that much Bitcoin. That correct could lead to a quote unquote retirement number if Bitcoin continues its ascent that it does and has the ability to like become the next world reserve currency. Like, so yes, if that mental picture is like motivating and interesting, absolutely it could. Also, the philosophical and like moral like movement of Bitcoin also is like so slammed together to the investment case in my head that I'm guilty of like ping-ponging back and forth when I talk about it so much. And so that's the reason why, I think it's interesting to be able to be like, I own a fixed amount of this fixed network and I'm part of the solution propelling Bitcoin to be the next world reserve currency. That's something that has always, again, back to what's helpful on the front end of YouTube, I've always noticed that people that have that extra like kicker motivation of it's kind of two birds with one stone. Again, like it's two birds with one stone of the ability to impact the world and make a positive investment at the exact same time. There's not very many things that you can kind of like so cleanly knock that out at the same time.
I don't think there's really anything else outside of Bitcoin with that, to be honest with you. I mean, like the freedom money, the technology, everything else, it seemingly has, you know, some sort of, you know, shortcoming that you have to like neglect, right? Whether it's, you know, stocks, the stock market isn't open 24/7, 365. You got to wait until Monday at 9 o'clock, yada, yada, yada. Real estate, slow to turn around. A lot of taxes on it, you know, all these different kind of things. So, you know, I hear you on that, but I think like that's the true, you know, essence of Bitcoin and kind of why people can grasp onto it and maybe really resonate with it. But, you know, it also comes into like the mindset aspect of almost denominating things in sats and getting it from that angle. So do you think that that's maybe a shift in the mindset where it's like, hey, you know, if you obtain 0.21 Bitcoin right now sitting at 13 grand, that's going to be a mindset shift that says, hey, whether, you retire on it, whether you, you know, that's your savings, like just that number is good. And, you know, say Bitcoin gets to $1 million here, that's, you know, $210,000 in a world like that. So, you know, is that where you see this kind of going? Is that, you know, getting more away from the full number bias and towards that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it can like to that person that spent $13,000 on and then of their labor today, and then having that potentially be $210,000 in the future, like that supercharges your savings. Like that is beating inflation in real time. Like, and that's what everyone who's been stacking Bitcoin for the past 10 years, like everyone since 2014, 2015, 2016, they've experienced that. Like I'm sitting in a house right now that would not, like, I would not be in the position that I am had I not like chosen to take a look at the amount of Bitcoin units and not be so focused on the exchange rate in the moment, again, 10 years ago. And so, yeah, I think it's all about focusing on the units.
Yeah, 100%. And then, but you know, 10 years ago, Brian, that things were a little bit different than they are now, right? We've got nation states talking about Bitcoin. We've got, you know, Trump, RFK talking about Bitcoin at the Bitcoin conferences. We've got El Salvador accepting Bitcoin as a legal tender. So, you know, with all that being said, like, you know, did you think we were going to be here 10 years ago? One, and like two, where do you think we're going? Like, you crystal ball, you know, tinfoil hat, like how quickly do you think this thing is taking off?
Yeah. So I love this question because okay, this is just top of my mind right now. It's like recency bias. Like I tweeted out basically what I said off the top of the, like, the math on the 0.21 puts you in top 1% globally. Right. And there was just like heel biters effectively of like that only matters if it becomes a world reserve currency or if the whatever, and kind of just like nitpicking everything you just outlined of like the ETFs, presidential candidates talking about it, nation states adopting it. Like yes, I do think we're like right on schedule. Like, I know that might be a weird answer, but yes, like I think we're right on schedule, and I think it is going to get faster. Like, and why do I think we're right on schedule? Because personally, in my own life, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 2019, our local meetup, we met at a bar called Tony's Deli. We would tip our bartender in Bitcoin, but I couldn't connect fully with the owner in order to like get the bar to take Bitcoin. Yeah. Like that was the status we were at. Right. So it was like that. And then also when we were onboarding kind of like normie adjacent people that were already at the bar, they would have to like download the app, maybe come back following. Like there wasn't, it was this like delayed process for a new person to like join or whatever. Right. Now, fast forward to 2019. Well, and back then there's no way to be a regular person not holding dollars because none of the Bitcoin exchanges, nothing had like fully come full circle yet. Right. And so we were still all grasping with the fact of like, is Bitcoin money? Is it investment? Like, what about the tax? Like, there was a lot of friction back then, 5 years ago. Okay. Now today, fast forward today, like Grey Wolf Brewing, they take Bitcoin, and I've watched normie adjacent people come and pay with Lightning out of Coinbase. I've watched them pay with Lightning out of Cash. Like I've watched like nerds from the internet show up with whatever their Lightning wallet is, or like that I like eCash and all that stuff that I'm like admittedly not up to speed on. Like I've watched nerds be compatible with the bar with that. And then I've watched like straight boomers, like with their like exchange apps pay at the same bar and watch it work on the same night. Like that's literally improvement. And you can call that anecdote if you want, but I'm like calling out big name apps and like big name software that has like improved since then. And I'm watching real people adopt it. And then number two, this is like Fold completing the loop that you're now able to be a regular W-2 person and not hold dollars full time is amazing. Like that truly is different. And that did not exist like 4 or 5 years ago. And so I have a really big passion for kind of that regular W-2 earning like American and letting them know that it's not just influencers that can live on Bitcoin. It's not just El Salvador that can live on Bitcoin. It's not just like, oh, digital nomads that can live on Bitcoin. Like I live in the suburbs with two young kids and like have like rental property. And like, I'm like a regular suburbs person. And you can do that now. Fold is built for regular people to like do that now. And then why is that an answer to your question? The answer to your question, because the fact that today, sitting here on your show today, you don't have to use dollars full time means that the speed of not having to use dollars is going to get better and better and better. And the friction is going to go down and down and down in real time. Like I almost equate it to more like smart home software or just software, any software things in general. Like you can now use software to have inflation impact you way less. Like you just, it's just an off button for inflation. Like, no, thank you. I'm not using that. Thanks.
Well, you know, what's crazy too, is they say like technology and everything is supposed to be deflationary. But I mean, if you look at the price of the iPhone, the prices of like technology has just skyrocketed. So like with software, right? Obviously everybody kind of thinks of AI as the latest and greatest kind of software. Do you see that as almost like as big of a digital revolution as Bitcoin here, where that could be something that helps us get to, you know, a new point where, you know, maybe we don't need either. We don't need as much jobs, as much fluff or whatever it is, but it makes everything a lot more efficient, similar to how Bitcoin can in a Bitcoinized world. Are you looking for the best way to store your seed phrase? Well, I've got it for you. It's Stampseed. They've got the number one punch place where you can order a full-on package where they've got every single thing. They've got all the letters. You could just get it in there. And they've got this sick, sick hammer, which they've engineered to make it so easy for you to punch in that titanium steel plate and store your seed phrase in the most secure way possible. So go ahead and get your Bitcoin off of these exchanges and use promo code Green Candle for 15% off. They're helping power their show. They've got the Bitcoin logo. You can punch it into your seed phrase as well. If you could see it here, they've got a lot of cool stuff. And now I'm helping empower you to get your Bitcoin off an exchange utilizing Stampseed and storing your seed phrase in the most secure way possible. Now get to it. All right, back to the show.
I think kind of back to that question of like, well, how many dollars should I hold? How much Bitcoin should I hold? Right? Like currently and forever, you've kind of had to like make that decision yourself. You've had to budgeting. That's why so many people don't like budgeting and so don't like, cause you have to like think about what are your goals, like what it is or whatever. But if it's just like, if you're direct depositing your paycheck to Bitcoin and you're able to like project out, these are the days that the bills need to do it. That like, I definitely believe there's like a lot of heavy, heavy automation, like deep learning stuff that can happen just simply based on your, like your habits and the math of like Bitcoin being better than fiat. Like, and that's the other thing that I think has flipped since back then, how I keep making comparisons to five, six years ago is, if you like, the same reasons why it's good to hold Bitcoin over dollars long-term, it's honestly like really, really, really close in the short term also. And like we kind of have this whole thing of like, Oh, it's volatile. Like if you were able to like shave off just, there's already people doing this manually today. So to your point, if you just add in a little bit of AI, a little bit of deeper learning, a little bit of kind of just like habit formation of like letting the automation software do it. Yeah, like I think a one-click off button for inflation is gonna happen.
The one-click off button for inflation, yeah. Is that just the money printer or is that the Bitcoin buy button there?
That's the Bitcoin. That's automatically being in Bitcoin with all of your resting surplus all the time.
Yeah, okay, that's fair to say because I mean, I made the joke here because I mean, obviously we've got the U.S. debt just going out of control. I mean, I think the new tweet that's kind of hot that's going around is if you were to buy $500,000 worth of whatever it is, or go that much, if you were to earn that much every single day since the Great Pyramids were built, mm-hmm. you would still have less than half the money that the U.S. government has borrowed since June. So, you know, with that being said, it's just like we're spiraling out of control here. So, I mean, Bitcoin seems to be the only life raft with everything that's going on. But, you know, do you still think that the facade, obviously, you know, when you kind of open your eyes to Bitcoin, I always think it's interesting. You think everything's going to break immediately. but you've been in for so long, you probably thought it's going to break and things were going to crash and burn multiple times. So do you think that the facade is still going to go on here, or where do you think we're at just like, you know, overall with everything?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. And I think it's kind of tied to your automation question. I think it's more tied to like Bitcoin is an improvement on fiat money and you can choose to use it instead. Like the same way you can choose to get the new iPhone, or the same way you can choose to get the more efficient car, or the new like more efficient computer or whatever. Like, I think you can choose to use the more efficient money. And I think the gap between people that choose to use the efficient money and don't use the efficient money is going to continue to get like worse and worse. And so I think, yes, back in the day, I might have been a little bit more in like, oh, something dramatic is going to happen. Something dramatic is going to happen. But as I get older and as I like continue to talk to Bitcoiners every day about just that question, like how many dollars do you hold? How much Bitcoin do you hold? And like, what's your friction on holding more Bitcoin? I don't actually spend my time thinking a lot about anything dramatic happening. I more think about individual by individual, like, hey, what's your Bitcoin split? Hey, what's your Bitcoin split? And people are continuing to like up it and up it and up it. Even people that say they're already like their long-term savings is already max 100% Bitcoin. Totally. Like lots of people have been doing that for years. But the short term and the medium term money, I think that percentage is going up for a lot of people. And so I don't think there's going to be a collapse. Cause again, even taking Bitcoin out of it for a second, what have people already been doing? Like, you know, this as a like real estate guy, people have already been using interior square footage to like not hold fiat money. Like interior square footage was already a replacement for fiat money. And like owning interior square footage on loaned money is the number one way to like become a millionaire in the United States. Like, and because you just do it and you just wait for inflation and money printing to continue happening. And so there already has been like an off button for it, but not everyone presses the button. Like, because one of the problems with real estate is like, you have to have the down payment. So then not everyone is able to like have the down payment, which dude, honestly, okay. That's just, so $13,000, 0.21 Bitcoin. Can you down payment a house for $13,000? Maybe in some cities, I don't know. Maybe you could a townhome in like very, very, very certain cities, maybe. But not really. Like,
yeah, majority, like, so the average home price right now, I believe, is like $450,000 in the US. And maybe even that might be medium, but right. I know the median is over $400,000. Just for reference, when I was like interest rates were under 3 and I bought my house just under, you know, 400,000, I needed to come to the table with like 30 grand for the FHA, like the lowest amount.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I think it's nearly impossible to find that unless you have, you know, a VA loan, which is a very unique kind of circumstance.
And most likely then the type of house you're getting won't appreciate anyways. Then it's literally just it might be a mobile home. Like it's not going to appreciate. And so comparing that, like the amount needed to like get on the Bitcoin train, it's like the Bitcoin train has the lowest barrier to entry of anything that can help you start to like beat inflation. And so forever, I think it's just people that choose to find the way to beat it and people that don't. And so I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be, I don't really think about a collapse a lot. I just think about like, how do you make it easier and easier and easier for people to like press the off button?
Yeah, and the off button seems to be the buy button for Bitcoin, though, right? I mean, because it's the only thing that can like is truly scarce and can truly appreciate against a currency that's depreciating at an all-time rate, because it's absolutely insane how much the money printing and everything like that is going on. But you know, you're in California, so I feel like you're in a little bit of a unique place, because you know, on the flip side of things, you know, you've been there for a while, so. You know, with everything that's been developing, have you noticed like any sort of change in the past four years post COVID time with everything? Do you see it as like, you know, is it as bad as people are saying and kind of like lining it out that way? Or is it, you know, are you in your kind of Bitcoin bubble or whatnot?
Let's see. Where do I want to go with this? I could throw out a general, like just punch at LA. Like, I don't like going to LA is like one thing. I could throw that out, but Here's what I'll throw out, actually. I don't super like punching LA or loving LA. It just is what it is. Here's what I'll throw out. California, the Port of Long Beach and right next to it brings in 40% of US imports. Okay. And then I live in Riverside County, California. All of the trains, all of the warehouses, all of the Amazon, all of that stuff gets on trains, comes right through here. Gray Wolf Brewing, Norco, California, right at the center of that. Okay. So I don't super buy any geographic arbitrage within the United States as far as like collapse or freedom or whatever. Like I don't super buy any of that. I think all of the US is like pretty in the same bucket, and everywhere has to like stand on its own merits. And I don't think the economy in California is like, I think the economy in California is like very, very big. And I think Southern California, like everyone, I just don't see Southern California like declining really.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just kind of leveling out in my opinion, where it was like, it saw this big boom at one point in time. And then it's, you know, I mean, it's everything goes in waves, right? I mean, like New York is still always going to be New York. LA is always going to be LA. Like the big cities, the big hubs, there's always going to be people out there chasing their dreams for the opportunity and everything. I just think it's like kind of like interesting kind of seeing the perspective and like kind of, you know, the narrative of the way things are going, because, you know, Santa Monica just announced, you know, they're having like that Bitcoin. What is it? I don't know the full details of it. So the Bitcoin Institution, is that right?
Yeah. Santa Monica Bitcoin Office, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously they're very open to Bitcoin to even offer that in the government. And it seems like, you know, everybody that I meet, all the Californians that I meet that are into Bitcoin are super based and kind of going that way. So do you think like that's almost like the way that the things have shifted slightly in California is a reasoning for that? I mean, like I kind of maybe equate it to a similar reasoning why I see so many great Canadian Bitcoiners where they see like things that don't work. So that's why they put the other side.
You bought the dip on the Canadian Bitcoiners. You know all that better than I do. I have not researched that very deeply. The other thing that, like, well, okay, so on the Santa Monica Bitcoin Office, shout out to Dom on that a lot. Like, that, want to know where that's from? And my understanding is that's just from a person who's really great at networking and really great at building influence and really great at having influence and caring about their local community and the people that they work with all the time. And then bringing Bitcoin to their industry. That's honestly what that's a super great example of. And so that's where, for people, that's why meetups are important. That's why taking Bitcoin to your own like industry is important. Like whoever you are already as a person, getting Bitcoin deeper ingrained in that is what's going to like cause it to continue the run that like it's on. That's where I take that from. And then just California as a whole, the one thing I would say is that I think that it's just, I wouldn't want to build my network anywhere else because I already have a 10 year long network here. So I guess that's what I would say is that I think a lot of the shots on different parts of the US come from, I don't know what it's coming from, but because like I moved around a lot as a kid. And so the fact that after I'm done moving around and I planted and lived in the same like 50, 60 miles for now over 10 years of my life, has led me to like so many different experiences and a positive network that I wouldn't have had if I was like constantly trying to like geo arbitrage the whatever or whatever. And so that's like, I think like Bitcoin gives you the ability to go deep on one geography and grow your influence. And just look, while we're already here, I'll also throw out, like, I'm the controversial statement. I'm pro HOAs, okay? I think HOAs are actually going to be a huge thing for Bitcoin because I think HOAs are actually the most functioning form of, like, people working together. And so I do think we're going to see a wave of, like, Bitcoin HOA boards that start stacking Bitcoin on the HOAs. And then imagine HOAs buying their land back from the city. And then you have lots of micro cities, okay? And so that's now your one thing. If you were to talk about, like, oh, if you wanted to get into like, oh, California bonds or whatever could lead to a mixed match of tax receipts and blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Okay, great. then the HOAs that have the amount of Bitcoiners are able to stack Bitcoin and help solve that problem for them by buying the land back. And that's my version of like Citadel theory.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that that's where, you know, things are going now. The Citadel theory is kind of interesting because obviously there's been, you know, a lot of places, the grassroots movements have been essentially popping up like all over the country and the globe. Now, you know, I asked you about some of the surprise earlier about like, you know, what has surprised you the most in the past 10 years, but are you surprised to see more of these grassroots movements gain so much popularity around the globe and the country and everywhere just seemingly pop up in these communities just developing so rapidly?
No, I love it. No, I love it. I honestly wish there's more of it. Like, I wish there's more of it. And two, I wish people wouldn't say like PubKey, okay? PubKey in New York, crushing it, right? Like Bitcoin stuff every single day. President's going there, demonstrating the circular economy, all that stuff. And I see everyone in their replies being like, when PubKey in my city or whatever. I'm like, when PubKey in your city? Like, how about you go knock on the door and like find the PubKey in your city? Like, so it's about... that can happen anywhere is like my like one takeaway from that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, PubKey and everything like that, they're doing outstanding stuff. Obviously Trump went there and bought the burger and it's, you know, did you ever think that, you know, when you first got into Bitcoin that we'd have somebody as influential as that? I mean, first, obviously 10 years ago, Trump being president, still kind of like a wild idea to throw out there, but two, a former president now using Bitcoin to purchase food, beer, burgers, all that kind of stuff. Did you think that we would be this far along in the development of, you know, just commerce with Bitcoin?
No, that was crazy and awesome. No, like that legitimately was crazy and awesome. And it was on the same day as the FOMC meeting, like to boot, like on the same day that like private unelected people are choosing the cost of dollars for the entire world and are choosing to impact the like very real ability for people to like manage economic activity in the world. Like private individuals are doing that for the whole world. You have another like very powerful person demonstrating that an open source known monetary protocol has the ability to like be traded for food, like the literal basic life necessity of food. No, I think that's like extremely, extremely giant.
Yeah, because I think you were one of the first people I would always hear like beating the drum of paying whoever it is about, you know, with Bitcoin and every like thing like that and kind of, you know, developing that circular economy. Now, I don't see banging that drum as heavily, but you say, you know, obviously you can live on it and all that kind of stuff. You know, do you think that there's still a way to live fully on a Bitcoin standard in the US and kind of keep going it that way? Or do you think that, you know, we still have to dabble in dollars and kind of, you know, play both, have a foot in both ends at this current state of everything?
Yeah. So I love that question. Like, absolutely love that question. Been thinking about that for a lot of years. And to be just honest, like, I didn't always feel that way. Like, I didn't always feel that way. It was like, I'll tell you what it was. It was the Bitcoin Beach episode of Tales from the Crypt on Marty's podcast. It was my experience at Tony's Deli in Anaheim and realizing that the wallet is the exact same. Like the same thing there, like Orange County, California and El Salvador are like very completely different places, but it was literally the same thing. And so it didn't have to be different. It was both those things. And then it was like the state of like COVID and the world and stuff like at that time, because I realized that like Bitcoin needs to start helping people now, like today. It has the ability to help people now today, and people need to like have the ability to think about what it can do for them today and not just kind of like pie in the sky in the future. So it was those things back then. And so, okay, so now to your thing of like, can a regular person live on a Bitcoin standard in the United States today? Like, yes, absolutely. And like, I'm like, look, I work at Fold, like, and so that's like, take that as you will, but like straight up, I've been trying to like think about this for a long time, for a lot of years, and Fold is the cleanest way for a regular person with a W-2 job to hold dollars as slow and as few minutes or hours per like week and month as possible. Like there isn't another as clean solution like in order to do that. And so yes, like if you're interested in doing that, you can do that today.
Yeah, and it seems like more people are accepting, you know, Bitcoin for whatever service it is, you know, whether it's, you know, I mean, I think that we're even getting that. So, you know, go ahead. I feel like I
Yeah.
bored with something.
No, yeah, one more thing on that. But yes, the reason why the Fold product and the circular economy stuff is connected, the reason why that's connected is because you would ask people that question, is it possible to live on Bitcoin 4 years ago? And they would give you this very like I'm going to call him out by name, like Joel Valenzuela. Like, you should go on his podcast, A Digital Cash Rundown, like, great YouTuber. He has also been covering this for a long time. I interviewed him on my old podcast. He has like lived without a bank account in the United States for a lot of years. So like putting his money where his mouth is, putting his crypto where his mouth is, like on that, he's closed his bank account a long time ago. There was a lot of middle things you had to do, like a lot of like paying people with cash, a lot of like different things you had to do. There wasn't a, and that's what caused this break between the way I call out the like suburbs people and W-2 people and like married people or just like with kids, like all this, like the club. That's what I mean by regular person. So I say this thing of like OG Bitcoiners were great at talking about Bitcoin. They were not great at talking about personal finance. Like, they were not great at staring like a W-2 American in the face and being like, this is how you stop using dollars, and giving them like an actual software-based, tech-based approach to do that. So Fold does that now. And that's why Fold is positive and is interesting. But then you're able to withdraw Bitcoin and spend it in the circular economy like as well. And so that's what I love about it, is that you're backwards compatible to the legacy system in a way that you never have been able to before. And then all of the forwards compatibility to the circular economy stuff, that's the same as it has been. Like, you could buy a beer 4 years ago and you can buy a beer right now, but it's becoming more and more popular. And the people with the more, call it again, name brand exchanges have the ability to pay now. So that's what's all different now.
Yeah. And I think that's continuing to grow too. And I mean, I think, you know, the great things like Zapride and other things are allowing you to invoice and let you transact with that. Now, you know, what is it going to take for us to get into more of, you know, I mean, we already sort of went over it with the whole number bias of the 0.21 Bitcoin, but when are we going to start pricing things in sats here, Brian? When are we going to start moving that way? Are you looking for the easiest way to get your Bitcoin off an exchange? Well, I've got it for you. It's Foundation Devices. They've got the number one hardware wallet in the Passport. They've even got a concierge service that can help you get your Bitcoin off an exchange within 1 hour private onboarding session. And they've got a great app too, which will give you extremely, extremely, extremely private features on that app, so you can use Bitcoin in the most secure way possible. So I've been working hard trying to get sponsors to help you get your Bitcoin off an exchange, and I found it with Foundation. And you can store your seed phrase with a stamp seed punch plate as well. So pair all those together, use promo code GREENCANDLE at foundation.xyz, and you'll get $10 off your entire order. All right, that's enough for me. Back to the show.
Yeah, so I think that's gonna be last. I'm not one of these. For a long time, I hate when you throw back the like, well, it has to be the same technology, then a medium, then of that, whatever. Like, because I think that was people talking past each other for a long, long time. And when you talk to new people about it, they don't like hearing that. When they're saying, how do I spend it or where can I spend it? They don't want a lesson on Austrian economics. They just want to know like how the transaction works. And so that's the thing. However, why do I think that's going to be last? And why do I think that actually will be a thing? Because the mental thought of like a dollar of something, like, I think pricing is going to take a long, like, pricing will be the last thing. Pricing will be the last part after the technology itself is like paying $8 of Bitcoin, paying $100 of Bitcoin, paying $10,000 of Bitcoin, becomes so fast all the time, both for backwards compatible things. Again, because that's the whole thing of your mortgage, like paying X dollars of Bitcoin backwards via ACH network, or pulling it out and paying $8 of Bitcoin forwards for the beer. Like, that's the most mentally mainstream way that I've heard the most amount of people say it. And pricing things in sats, it will probably last.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point too, I think, you know, El Salvador obviously made Bitcoin legal tender. Nayib Bukele, you know, made waves, but I still don't think like very many businesses, if any businesses at all, are pricing in Bitcoin. They'll just allow you to pay in Bitcoin, but it's still all priced in dollars. So I still, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that that's going to be, you know, in a sense, the last moving point.
Unless it's like betting markets or like bonuses and stuff. Like if it's a financial thing, like if it's me having a sports bet with you, then we can denominate it in the new currency and we have that agreement together. So where both parties are on the exchange fluctuation up and down, then it's fine. But when you're buying something and you're dealing with inputs and outputs on one side, and then this person is like over here, that's when it creates the mismatch for people.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm not going to confirm or deny that I've done sports bets for a set amount of sats, but I mean, I could see a world where that occurs, you know,
could be useful.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely would be, or it definitely is useful in that sense too, because it definitely gets that bias in. But, you know, you look at El Salvador, right? You look at what the presidential candidates like Trump and RFK have said about utilizing Bitcoin. Now, do you think that that'll help the U.S. in a sense? Do you think that that'll get the dollar strength back up relative to Bitcoin? Like, how do you view that? Or are you more on the accelerationist kind of theory where you just think everything needs to crash and burn so we could get quicker to the hard money standard?
It's very, very hard for me to wrap my head around the like dollar backed by Bitcoin stuff. I don't understand it. In terms of like strategic reserve of Bitcoin, I get that. And I think that's positive. I think countries adopting it like as a reserve asset, I think companies adopting it as a reserve asset is positive. I think the fact that him purchasing the burger was actually like a big deal is because he's now not going that it just with his actions, it was money then. And so you're not really ever able to put it back in the like, oh, it's just a savings asset like ever really, which I think is good, which is I don't like being the nitpicker. Like I don't want to be the nitpicker guy. I want to be the like overly optimistic guy, like rah, rah, big tent, like team. The one thing I have with some of the like balance sheet stuff is like, it feels like companies that are like way far ahead on the balance sheet stuff could start to like kind of work it into like the business a little more.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I think paying people in Bitcoin, I think taking it as payment, like if you're already doing that, I think that could start to get talked about a little bit in the corporation discussion.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think the first company that would obviously that comes to mind that would be able to do that is MicroStrategy. I know that I think like certain companies allow you to, well, I mean, I don't know how that works. I'm not obviously working for any of those big guys, but obviously if you get your paycheck in something like Fold or something like, you know, Strike, some of these other companies, they allow you to allocate a certain percentage to Bitcoin. And you think instead of just doing that, you could just accept sats and go for it like that. And almost, I guess it's almost paid for as like a company stock in a sense, you know, kind of paid out that way.
Yeah. Or I mean, another example is like when Tesla turned on Bitcoin payments on their checkout screen, that I thought was another hyper bullish thing. I thought that was incredible. Like, and the other thing that made that so incredible when they did that was that they used BTC Pay Server. Like, they went on the internet to the open source thing, like, just used it. And then they were even, like, they even sent back feedback, like, into the thing of, like, check on this. Like, it literally was, like, open source software, you know, just in real time. I thought that was awesome. And so that's an example of, like, using it in the business, but then also having it on the balance sheet.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to be the new wave. So, I mean, yeah, speaking of that, obviously we've seen Michael Saylor and four other publicly traded companies. You know, we just had your, you know, the CEO of Fold come on, Will, saying that, you know, Fold has implemented a strategy with that. Like, how powerful do you think that that is? Not only like just on a personal level, but on the Bitcoin balance sheet, just kind of like looking at somebody like Michael Saylor and emulating what they did at MicroStrategy. You know, do you think that that's going to be a new wave to kind of help catapult us into the next, you know, epoch or whatever we're going through here in Bitcoin, where, you know, it's now just not only countries and nation states, but massive amounts of institutions just piling in and getting Bitcoin on their balance sheet?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Which is why, as an individual, having the 0.21 like matters. Like, you as an individual grabbing a slice of the fixed supply network matters. And there's never really been another, again, with dollars, you can't grab a fixed supply. You're always getting watered down, always getting watered down, always getting watered down. And so the corporations that have like tons and tons and tons and tons of it are always going to have more influence in you. But like, you grabbing a fixed supply of the network, you're literally on the same like rising tide with the corporations, with the countries, with all that stuff.
Yeah. So then what's left to who's left, or what's the target place to start adopting Bitcoin? Is it just like everybody's already kind of has like a pocket here or there, and it's just now for mass adoption, for everybody to just follow the leader's lead? Or do you think there's like another group that is somewhat missing the boat on, you know, where Bitcoin could be extremely helpful? Because I don't see one right now. I think everybody's kind of like, there's pockets of, you know, and I'm just, maybe that's why I'm thinking I'm just missing something, but I see, you know, pension funds slightly getting on it, some governments, you know, some institutions, obviously people, the plebs, like, who's left now?
I think we've been hitting on it all day. And I think it's that you have to look for each of the areas in your life and up the percentage of Bitcoin usage in that area. Like, we've all, Bitcoin personal finance advice for a long time has been savings technology, which it is, and crushed it. And we all crushed it. Like, we're all already at 100%, like, in that bucket. Great. Like, we did it. I think a lot of people are starting to ask the what's next, like, what's next? And it's rather than looking externally at what's next, it's looking internally at what's next. Like, is Bitcoin still a bolt-on side thing that you do with DCA outside of your family's budget? Or is your partner incorporated into Bitcoin being a core piece of your like personal finances? And do you have like a family goal for how much Bitcoin to hold and how much dollars to hold? Like, those are different, like, those are different worlds. Like, those are different worlds. And so I think that's what's going to happen next, is people are going to be asking for more and more ways to like incorporate Bitcoin deeper into their personal finances, rather than having it be like a bolt on, because you're right. Everyone, or every kind of like type of organization, individual to country to like institution, has begun to make a decision on it.
Yeah. And so like with that, how much of a role do you think the ETFs are going to play going forward now? Because I'm big on self-custody, but the ETFs obviously, you know, give access to Bitcoin that others didn't give access to. Now, I'm always wary, because last cycle we had FTX, Celsius, you know, all these people selling paper Bitcoin. Now, I'm not quite sure that the ETFs are going to be able to do that with SEC regulation and everything. But you never know, right? So, you know, don't trust Verify. Some of these ETFs have not disclosed their wallets. So, you know, how do you view the ETFs and kind of that development of getting people into Bitcoin?
Yeah, so this is a great question too. Look, you knew me back at the Choice days, and like, and something that I came up with back then was like, account types are not the problem. Like, the money is the problem, right? Okay, account types are not the problem. The money is the problem. So you have the ability to hold Bitcoin straight up in retirement accounts. You have the ability to hold Bitcoin straight up in a direct deposit account in your like primary account that you run your personal finances from. One example where I'm still using the ETF in my own personal finances is in a health savings account. Because my understanding is that there isn't a financial product out there yet from a company that I'm aware of that lets you get Bitcoin in like Bitcoin in a health savings account. So that's one example where the ETF is like still filling that need. That's one way to look at it. And then another, like the second way to look at it would be, so that's one way to look at it, of we have to continue innovating on products to get native Bitcoin replacing fiat money throughout the products, throughout the products, throughout the products. Another random shout out is like, there's life insurance, like there's a life insurance company that's like making noise on Twitter, which is cool to see, like the more products. The other way to look at it is I think ETFs are a layer two of Bitcoin, okay? I think everything is a layer two of Bitcoin. And I think ETFs are one of those. And so I think it's going to be in your Bitcoin personal finances. It's going to stop being how much Bitcoin do I hold? How much dollars do I hold? It's going to start being how much Bitcoin do I hold in my retirement account? How much Bitcoin do I hold in my like main personal finance account that I pay my bills out of? How much Bitcoin do I hold in my own wallet that I take to my local meetup every week? How much Bitcoin do I hold with like this insured custody? How much Bitcoin do I hold with like that layer two and like all that stuff? That's what I think. Those are my two thoughts on ETFs.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree with you. I think at the end of the day, everything's good for Bitcoin. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of people just getting into it, but it's like a first touch point. So the way, I mean, obviously everybody compares Bitcoin to gold. So I kind of look at the way that the gold ETFs have reacted, and now gold prices doubled more than that in the past 5 years. But if you look at the outflows of the gold ETFs, they've been net outflows for the past 3 years plus. And I think obviously the big reason for that, for the price increase, is because people are buying the physical gold assets, specifically central banks. So now that's where I think the Bitcoin's going to go. But I think all these things are going to be accelerated even quicker than gold, because, you know, we're just going through massive amounts of money printing, the de-dollarization, you know, you name it here. And now I think that's why we're seeing, you know, countries like Bhutan secretly mining, like smaller countries that can take these risks, you know, start to get into Bitcoin and try to figure it out that way. And so I think, you know, the ETFs will give people more access. It'll, you know, open up eyes of bigger name people, because the largest asset managers in the world are now talking about Bitcoin, releasing things about Bitcoin. And, you know, I think it's just starting that flywheel, man. And it's, you know, that luckily, you know, we're a couple of plebs that were able to beat some of the biggest money managers in the world and some of the, you know, largest, most powerful governments. But, you know, do you think that Bitcoin ready for all of this, I guess, is a long-winded question with, you know, the rapid development that we're seeing?
Yeah. So a few things off that. Number one, I hate all the gold comparisons. So like, I never try to use those. I completely just reject them and like steer the conversation differently. Number two, I don't love the word, I'm like nitpicking you. I'm not trying to play you on the spot. Also don't love the word plebs. Like, it completely strips away the concept. Like, no, you own a finite supply of a finite network that's like taking over the world. Like, you were early to a network that's like growing or whatever. So I understand where that's coming from, of like our parents and our parents' parents were like on the fiat hamster wheel and like had like, there is like literal corruption in the world and like there's a problem. And so I understand the like underdog story of all of that. But I think we're at this point where Bitcoiners need to realize that they do have influence and they do have the ability to like impact the world. And so I try to just like hammer that, because I want more people to like say that. So do I think like Bitcoin's ready? I kind of like, yes, but like the yes, but because of that mindset thing a little bit. And I know maybe I'm just being like kind of overly nuanced and annoying or whatever, but there is, I think, just still a little bit, this is to the Bitcoin community, this is very like inside baseball, like Bitcoin community, the Bitcoiners who have been just on the internet and part of the talkers and part of the thing, I think sometimes are hitting a little bit of a ceiling of like, you know, the Libertarian Party, they just like, they love to be the losers. They're just like, we're the losers, but we're the purest like losers and like all this stuff. And they can't really like, they can't envision it like going mainstream. They can't envision that their ideas actually are mainstream and are going to go mainstream. And whenever someone in the mainstream says something that's like half agreement, the initial reaction is always to like correct the other half or correct the other half or correct the other half, rather than just be like interested that the overturn window is shifting. Okay. So Bitcoin, yes, is absolutely like going mainstream, and that's like happening in real time. I don't think that everyone is like mentally ready to like be a big influence on the world as it does go mainstream.
So you think it's an influence and just like the mentality thing opposed to just like the technology?
Yeah. Like I think the technology is ahead of the mentality of some of the early adopters. Yeah.
Interesting. Cause I feel like majority of people, I feel like they say it's the opposite. So whether it's like the Lightning Network or everything like that, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds of that. Cause honestly, I don't know. So that's why I always ask the experts about that. But I agree with you though. I think it is a mentality thing. Go ahead.
No, I get what you're saying about the position of, you know, the technology is still clunky. It could improve. The Lightning Network, I don't know, could global payment scan, da da da. Like, I get that. But no, honestly, from a, again, like the country stacking it, the corporation stacking it, like individuals still being able to grab a significant chunk of it, that's all happening in real time. But I don't think that, yeah, I don't, I think that I, you know, how you asked earlier the whole like inflation and money printing and just like, what's going to be the dramatic event? I think there are a lot of people on the Bitcoin side waiting for that dramatic event of where the technology would be like, oh, the technology is ready. Like the technology, and it's like, guys, like it's not, that's actually not how software works. Like it's not going to be like ready one day. And that's what was so beautiful about the Bitcoin Beach story, dude, back in the day of like Lightning wasn't supposed to work back then either. If Mike Peterson had asked Twitter, like, hey, like I'm thinking about doing this beach thing with these 500 families, 500 people, like, what do you guys think? Dude, you know, the amount of people would have been like, that's the dumbest idea ever. The phones won't work. Like, what about the internet? Like, did it, like all of that, dude. And he was just like, no, like Bitcoin's better than fiat money. Like, seems interesting to like try to do this. Right. And that's the same thing that like, the limiting factor is not the technology. The limiting factor is the brains of people that are already holding Bitcoin.
I love it, man. I love it. And I think that's a good place to wrap it up, because I think, you know, that mindset shift, I think it's going to start coming with more conversations like this. And I think, you know, the 0.21 Bitcoin has really resonated with a lot of people. So hopefully you're helping a lot of people there shift that mindset and get to the place where Bitcoin is better money. But Brian, you've been very generous with your time. So why don't you tell people where they can find out more about you and more about the great stuff you guys are doing at Fold.
Yeah, no, you're the man, dude. Thank you for putting good content on YouTube. Thank you for being a Bitcoin YouTuber. Search Brian Harrington on YouTube. Search Fold App on YouTube. Please subscribe to those channels on X. You can shoot me a DM anytime about Fold-related support. I'll escalate anything for you. It's at Brian Harrington. And yeah, if you don't have Fold yet, use the link in the description. You can get a 20,000 sat bonus. And no, just let it go. Thumbs up and subscribe to positive Bitcoin content on YouTube.
Yeah, man, let's do it. Yeah, check out Brian's channel and the Fold channel as well. I'll link all that in the show notes. And Brian, thanks so much, man. Thank you for tuning into the latest episode of the State of Bitcoin podcast. If you really enjoyed this one, I've got another one cooking up for you. You can click that right here and you can go to the next episode, which is an absolute banger, where you know I'm bringing you only the latest and greatest guest. Or if you're looking for more macro-related content, you could check out my other channel, Macro Insights Pod. I got it linked for you right here. So where I'm bringing you more about stocks, real estate, traditional finance stuff. So go ahead and check that out. And if you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and hit that like, hit that subscribe button, and tell a friend to tell a friend. All right, enough from me. I'll see you at the next one.